Welcome to the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast, connecting real people with expert advice to achieve a healthier lifestyle and live a more fulfilling and abundant life. Here's your host, Coach Tavia.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. It's your coach, Tavia, here, and I'm excited. I'm bringing another fabulous guest to you all today. It's funny, you guys, how I find these people that just want to jump on my show. No, not really, but but I lure them in, and I found this amazing doctor on Dr. Thompson that we're going to talk to today. But I like to find the best of the best. I always say that to you guys, and I like to find people that are that can bring something of value to you and change your life. You guys all know what I do, but I feel like there's more out there that is complementary. And Dr. Thompson is something that I really resonated with when I saw his TikTok post about headaches and migraines. Who out there doesn't suffer from headaches or migraines occasionally, or know someone that suffers from headaches or migraines? I would say a very vast, good percentage of people. So anyways, hello, Dr. Thompson. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
You're so welcome. Thank you for being here. So just a little blurb about Dr. Thompson. And how do you say your last name again? I know it's Japanese.
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's commonly butchered. It's pronounced Miyasaka.
Miyasaka. And you know, I love that because my sister's Japanese. So we talked a little bit about that. So Dr. Thompson Miyasaka. I love it. I love it. So Dr. Miyasaka, like I said, I stumbled upon him in TikTok. He had these fabulous videos and he was talking about migraines and concussions. And so we are going to dive into that today. So Dr. Thompson, I'm just going to say, he's actually lives in Bloomington, Minnesota. He works at the Minnesota Center for Chronic Headache. Currently, he is taking telehealth patients. November 1st, he will be taking in-person patients in his clinic. Very exciting. But his background, he is a chiropractor by trade, but he actually veered away a little bit from that and actually is working in functional neurology. Is that correct, Dr. Thompson?
Yep. Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, great, great. So we are going to dive in and talk a little bit about migraines, like I said. But before we do that, I want to talk about your own personal journey that led you to this. You said that you kind of got into it because your wife experienced migraines and then you experienced a concussion. So let's start with the wife. Tell me a little bit about your wife and what happened with her or still was going on with her and why that led you to what you're doing now. Excuse me.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. My wife's name is Teresa, and she was kind of the entire reason, sort of the mechanism that pulled my veil of ignorance sort of off, because I was part of the problem, I would say, for a while is I thought that migraines were, you know, we all get headaches and everybody's headache has the potential to cross this line. And if it's past this line, then it's a migraine. So we're all sort of predisposed to them. And it wasn't until I was with her and sort of watched her experience them that I realized that it's just different. It's a different thing. It's a whole different cause. I wouldn't even say it's a headache condition. To me, it seems kind of more like a little mini seizure. We'll get into all that later, but, really seeing her, go through that and then just being curious more or less and asking her just sort of explain what you're going through right now. Like, how can I support you more? And in the process of that, it sort of led me to go search for what is different about migraine. Like why are migraines so special? Like why do they get talked about so much? And in the process of that, it was sort of like this mind-blowing realization that I had been so terribly wrong about what they were for so long. And in the process of that, I was sort of right in the middle of studying neurology in school. And it was such a powerful realization that, holy crap, like everyone is wrong. Like the collective understanding about what these people go through on a regular basis is so skewed and mischaracterized. And I think that's a big reason as to why the everyday experience of a migraine sufferer is so terrible is because nobody really understands it. So seeing my wife go through that was a really big catalyst in sort of orienting me in that direction. And then my own experience with concussions has sort of helped that as well as, you know, understanding the invisible illness, if you will, and just being able to relate to people that are going through that. That's been more my experience with it, and being able to, you know, just describe something that most people kind of find it difficult to put into words.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you about your wife as far as migraines. Did she suffer from like childhood, or was this like adolescent? Was this teenagers? How long has she been suffering from migraines?
Yeah, pretty much her whole life. She's not really one to have super chronic migraines, but she'll have, you know, 2 to 5 a month that really flare up. And it was one of those really bad flare ups. It was right around her time of the month, and it happened to coincide with a big storm. And that was sort of the one in hindsight that really piqued my curiosity. And it's like, what is going on here? Like, I don't get headaches like that. Like, what is unique about her condition, or what is unique about migraine that's leading to that? And that was ultimately sort of the one migraine in particular she had that sent me down that road.
You said around a storm, like
a big pressure system.
Okay. So I heard about this before, and I've talked about this too, to some of my patients about the negative and the positive ions.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, can you touch on that? Cause I just said that. Can you talk about the storm and that a little bit and how that relates?
Yeah, totally. The storm in relation to it being a trigger is tough, obviously, because you have very little control over it.
Yeah.
But the way that I like to look at it that I think makes the most sense is a storm is potentially one influence on the system that handles stress, if you will. So the theory that's kind of emerging currently in the literature is sometimes referred to as the bucket theory. So you have, generally everyone has a bucket with a predisposed size, a preset limit for water. And based on your genetics and just based on where you live and what you're predisposed to being stressed out with, you have a certain collection of stressors that drip water into the metaphorical bucket. So as it pertains to weather systems, that would be a source of water going into the bucket.
Okay.
And then the integrity of your HPA axis, or the system that handles stress, would be metaphorically the size of your bucket.
Okay.
So as it pertains to the weather systems, that's one source. Obviously, as we talked about, there's nutritional sources that go into adding water into the bucket. There's musculoskeletal sources that can trigger migraines. The sort of area that I specialize in finding dysfunction in is the nervous system, a lot to do with how your eyes move. Mm-hmm. Ocular dysfunction is a huge dripper into that bucket. And so that's sort of if you step back and just look at what causes migraine, that's kind of how we like to look at it and explain it.
Yeah.
Is first, we need to make your bucket bigger and able to handle more water. And that will generally make you more resilient to all forms of stress, emotional, cognitive, really any type that you can put into the bucket. If it's big enough, you won't trigger a migraine. And then it's identifying all of the different sources that put water into the bucket, if you will. And that's what I think the current system is very difficult to navigate in, is we're always kind of singularly chasing sources of stress into the bucket. We don't ever sort of take a step back and look at, okay, well, maybe the bucket's too small. You know, maybe you're not, maybe you've tried all of the right therapies, but you just haven't tried them all at the same time. So when you really step back and look in at migraine like that, things like storms make a little bit more sense. Things like food triggers make a little bit more sense. Things like, you know, chiropractic make a little bit more sense. So when you have a model to think of it through like that, it's a lot easier to conceptualize as a person experiencing it. And it's also a lot easier for a clinician to just step back and say, okay, where can we focus now that will help this person the most immediately? So that's kind of the generally where the literature is going in migraine, is sort of in that direction.
So, and piggybacking on what you said, and what I do is as well, as root cause, right? There's always a root. there's a stem, there's a root to this. I know a lot of times people say, oh, I suffer from migraines. It's just my PMS. It's just my PMS. I hear that a lot from women. It's not always PMS, ladies. it could be your neck is out. It could be nutritional deficiencies. It could be, you hit your head when you're a kid and you had some trauma. Trauma is a big one, right? Trauma is a big factor. You know, and like you said, with concussion, you know, if you've had a past concussion, I've had a past concussion too. All of those are players, you know, and I have a little thing here. I call the man in the cannon. I talk about the man in the can, and what I do is I look at the foundations. You know, when someone comes into me, it's like, is this a genetic component? Is there something hormonal related? Is this environmental? You know, check the boxes off, right? So that's what you do as well too. When someone comes into you with migraines, like what is the actual root here? So leading into that, one of the things you talked about on TikTok that I loved was, you talked about different types of headache or where they're stemming from. And you did like four or five different points. And I want to talk about that today of how someone can actually kind of find out like what type of headache they're having. So I want you to talk about that today.
Yeah. That definitely gives you a clue into what type of therapies you should go after first. The ones that I see most often are the ones that kind of stay at the top of the skull. Mm-hmm. You could argue that would be a lot of stress-related headaches, but specifically if you have pain up here and it doesn't respond to like chiropractic or you go to a masseuse and it comes back almost immediately, that's sort of my tip-off that, okay, this type of headache might be coming from the way that your eyes move. It's actually kind of cool if you feel back there. So if you find the notch on the back of your skull and go down about an inch, and then over an inch, and then move your eyes all over the room really quickly.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You can feel the muscles twitch under your fingers.
Oh my gosh.
And so that is a really nice illustration that your eyes and those muscles called the suboccipital muscles have very strong, powerful connections to one another. So if one is dysfunctional, so if your eyes don't move, your brain will inherently sense instability in some way. It's sort of a threat to its existence. Like if your brain doesn't know where it is, there's built-in reflexes to stabilize your gaze. And one of them is to tighten down those muscles on the top of your neck to make sure that you're able to, you know, fixate on whatever might be dangerous. It's a very old evolutionary pathway that just allows you to hold your gaze. So one example of the video you're referencing is if it's right here and it doesn't respond to things, then you should probably get your eyes checked out and see if they're moving correctly, if they can track correctly, if they can jump from one place to another correctly, if they can follow correctly, if they're able to just hold on to something. That's a lot of what we do in our clinic is sort of measure that and quantify it so we know what to go after rehab wise. Another really common one that gets misdiagnosed a lot is the headband right around the front. Typically a tension headache, it can have mixed presentations as a cervicogenic headache. If you have a cervicogenic headache, typically you'll push a little bit below where you just were and you'll feel this big wraparound pain like into one of your eyes. That can sometimes sort of, if you have two on each side, like if your whole neck is just contributing to it, you'll get this sort of mimicking a tension headache. And the tension headaches can often come from kind of hard to pin on one source, but a lot of like pressure related things. If you have orthostatic intolerance and your sympathetic system is working in overdrive to just keep blood in your brain, a lot of times you'll get that headband type presentation. So it's important to kind of, obviously I kind of overgeneralize things on TikTok because the videos are so short.
Yeah, that's fine.
So they're kind of designed more or less to give you just a general idea of where to go if you feel those types of pains. Another one that kind of mimics a cervicogenic headache is a TMJ headache. Those are, oh my gosh, I suffer from those myself. I hate them so much.
Me too.
And they kind of follow the same pattern, you know, right in the temples down into the cheeks a little bit.
In this your masseter bone and this, oh my God, they get so tight.
That's such a strong muscle.
Yeah, I can tell when I clench at night because it will completely get tight. Yeah.
TMJ. Have you ever seen one of these?
I have a Resi Max. Yeah. Oh,
I love the Resi Max. If you're out there,
my best friend,
and you have TMJ headaches, what I like to do is put like a glove on the end of it.
Yep.
And then put the glove in your mouth and spread it out so you get the pterygoids.
Yes.
Oh, that just melts it like butter if you're a clencher like I am. And apparently you are as well.
That's so funny. So I actually interviewed Sherrick. Fun fact.
Yeah.
He's on my podcast.
Cool.
So yeah. So people, what we're talking about is the Resi Max Tuner Pro. In case you can't see this video, it is a device and it's great for TMJ. It's great for neurological stuff. I got it because of my TMJ. That's so funny. Yep. And great for headaches. Put it on the back of my neck. I've had headaches. It completely eliminates that. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. So if you want to know more about the Resi Max, tune into my other podcast episode. I can't remember which episode it is about, but Sherrick Peck, the inventor, I interviewed him.
Oh, that's so cool. Tell him if you're still in touch with him, tell him thank you. I use this all the time.
Oh, I do too. And I've sold so many out of my, my practice, like wonderful, wonderful changed life. So yeah.
Awesome.
Anyways. Well, cool. Any other, types of headaches, that you wanted to, or other, yeah, types of headaches that you want to talk about? We did the TMJ, we did the stress, the tension,
I mean, I guess two other one, or I would say more hidden sources of headaches. One that I'm sure actually both you probably know a lot about are low level infections and hormones. Yes. We could have a whole podcast just on infections. Oh. I know that we were talking about Lyme disease before we ever got on here, but those are tough.
And as you,
without getting too far into it, you know, the way that we detect those, I think is, I guess, part of why they go so undetected. If you go to your MD and they take a test for Lyme, you know, they're looking for like acute Lyme. They're looking for the markers that are going to tell you like, whoa, something is terribly wrong.
Right.
But with the way that Lyme works, it's so good at just blending in to normal lab work that you need a specialist in order to kind of tease that out, because a lot of those values won't show up on a normal lab in terms of the values. As you know a ton about that, you deal with a lot of that in your clinic, don't you?
Yes. A lot of Lyme as I'm aligning myself. Yeah. 100%. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's funny, you mentioned the hidden infections. If I may say too, yeah, I had really bad migraines, migraines, headaches, whatever you want to call them, prior to me eliminating, the infections.
Yes.
So I would say I still have Lyme. You will always have Lyme. If you've been exposed to Lyme, you always have Lyme. It'll always show up in my blood somewhere. It may come and go. It goes dormant. There's no cure for Lyme necessarily. Kind of stays and they hide out in your joints and everything like that. But the long story short is that once I cleared majority of my infection and got into a healing state, I don't have migraines anymore. I don't remember the last time I had it. And I used to be where they were like stabbing my brain, going to the ER. Like it was awful. Like I'd have to get, you know, IVs, everything. It was awful. And little did I know at the time, I didn't know I had Lyme, but
yeah,
it was the infection. It was all the toxicity that you'd mentioned. So neurotoxins, if you will, that are up there.
Yeah. And you know, looking back in hindsight, it's so clear when they finally give you that diagnosis of like, oh, of course, you know, Lyme is the great causer of all things strange and unusual.
That's the truth.
Probably felt really good to get that cleared up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The other, just going off of that, I would say the most, what's the word? Undiscovered source of migraine headache. The one that definitely I think deserves a lot of the attention is the hormonal side of headaches.
Nice.
One thing, especially with chronic stress, like migraine in and of itself is inherently a stressful condition. And what I mean by that is if you list out all of the things that make events stressful, two of the big ones are unpredictability in a sense that it's not in your control.
Yeah.
So if we just think about those two things, unpredictable, you have no idea when your migraines are coming on.
Right.
And two, almost all of the therapies in the Western world, excuse me, get some water here.
Yeah, feel free.
Almost all of the therapies that are available to you require you to sort of surrender control to who's ever overseeing your care. So hope they got the medications right. Hope, you know, hope the Botox is in the right spot. Hope whoever's giving you the therapies is on their game, understands migraine and cares about you. You know, it's a lot of things outside of people's control that I think contributes to migraine being so stressful. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love about the way that we treat it here is a lot of the things that we give you are designed to empower you. They're designed for you to do yourself, to lessen that stressful load of, oh gosh, I hope I can exert some sort of control over this. So if we back up a little bit and just think of migraine as inherently a stressful condition, then you look at the long-term effect that that has on the long-term stress response, not the short-term one, not the immediate fight or flight, the long-term, more of a slow drip stress response. Mm-hmm. And if taxed for a long period of time, will deplete something called DHEA. I'm sure you've heard of it a bunch. It's really important. It makes cortisol, and it's also the precursor to a lot of your sex hormones. So if you are chronically stressed, either from migraine, Lyme, life in general, whatever the stresses are, if you've depleted that system, you then no longer have enough DHEA to make appropriate levels of sex hormones. And then sort of an estrogen crash during your cycle will reliably and ferociously bring about some of the worst migraines that you can have. I mean, if you ask anybody that suffers with them, the worst ones often are the ones that accompany their menstrual cycle. And a lot of that is because of that depletion of DHEA, because it's been used so frequently to make stress. And so that's a huge part of the early rehab that we do is, one, just testing it to see where the levels are at, and then using low-level DHEA and pregnenolone and certain enzymes to sort of direct the metabolism of that. If you go back to the bucket analogy, that kind of makes for a much larger bucket, which will make you much more resilient and tolerant of stress that won't trigger a migraine. So generally, you want to be able to just handle all the stress in the world without having headaches. And that's a great, great place to start. Because those menstrual headaches are nasty. And it kind of kills two birds with one stone. It kind of makes you more resilient and makes migraines around your period a lot less intense.
Very cool. You just said a really good point, because I do see a lot of women that have, you know, the menstrual cycle, PMS or menstrual cycle headaches. And a lot of times, you know, the magic potion is, you know, they'll go to the doctor and they'll just give them, you know, some kind of medications, or sometimes, like you said, Botox is the two solutions, the short-term solutions. But again, it's not tackling the real issue at hand or the underlying cause. And so that's what you do in your clinic, right? Is you tackle the underlying cause and get to the root of actually why you are suffering from a migraine or a headache. Correct?
Yeah. We just step back and look at all of the physiology. It's so, and I'm not trying to crap on Western medicine at all. It's just sort of a very, just by, by nature of it, it's a very, like almost linear diagnostic algorithm. Like if you need a diagnosis and then the treatment for that diagnosis is X, Y, and Z. In that model, if you test for estrogen, typically they'll just give you estrogen, which is sort of a band-aid. You know, if you take a step back and look at why you don't have estrogen, that's kind of what we try and do, is look at the entire system and figure out why you aren't making your own estrogen. Because then, you know, if we go back, if you have to rely on a doctor to give you the right dose of estrogen all the time, like that takes the control out of your hands. That makes it more stressful. That makes it so someone else is responsible for the outcome of your condition. And we're trying to get a system and a collection of therapies that are available for you to do at home. That's sort of one of the big ways to manage the anxiety of migraine, is to give you the power back. Not to say that sometimes the Western way doesn't work. Sometimes it does. But this way also works, and it gives you sort of the power back. And the added benefit is we'll actually reboot the system to work on its own. That's the big thing, is we want this system, the entire system, the whole HPA axis, to work again wholly, as it was originally intended to. That's sort of the big picture of what we try and do hormonally, is allow the body to produce the amount of cortisol it needs to handle stress, and then redirect the metabolism of estrogen so you can have enough of it during your cycle to not have devastating migraines.
Right. For for those listeners out there who don't know, what can you say what the HPA axis is? I know what it is, but I just want you to know what that is.
It's
a big word.
Yeah, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So it's I just call it the stress system. Yeah. Anytime you have stress in your life or a stressful event, it goes through that system. Mm-hmm. And you can wear that system out pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like going back to the Lyme, hidden infections,
yes,
as well. Right. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So going back to your TikTok, and then we'll kind of wrap this up a little bit. Is there anything that, something fun, something, I mean, you do so many cool, fun things on TikTok. You guys, you have to follow him on TikTok if you're on TikTok, and his handle is the headache_the whisperer. But you have to follow him because he's super fun. But, and you do so many quick, like you said, little things, and it's like teasers to me, even because I'm like, I want more, more, more. I could talk to you probably for hours about things. But is there anything you said you did something today, or maybe that's not appropriate for today's podcast? I don't know. But, what would be like a today's message that you are a tip? Cause you always do like a tip of the day. So did you have a tip today?
Yeah, it took more of, it's not quite as funny. It's more of a sensitive one.
Okay, that's
But the message itself is, it's not your fault. You didn't ask for this heavy burden. It's not your fault. The world doesn't understand your struggle.
Oh.
It's okay to feel grief from the life you miss out on and the person that you used to be. And it's not okay to beat yourself up or stop searching for relief.
Oh, I love that. Well, that's perfect for today.
Yeah, it's not quite as, and then the very next one is somebody turning into Shrek after a migraine coma. So it goes all over the place.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. I love what you, that's so sweet. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people are out there searching for answers, right? And maybe they've even gone, you know, the Western medicine route, and they've gone to the doctor, they've gone and did all the injections or the pills and potions, but they still aren't getting relief, or they're still, it's kind of a band-aid maybe, possibly, but it's still not getting them out of their hole. Right. So totally. This is like what you do is that second level, or that I would say, works in conjunction, with and complementary, I will say the word complementary, what you do. And so you were talking about things they can take, possibly even supplementation. If they're low on DHEA, that might be an option as one. Or you said, do you like have exercises, things like that? Or what are some of the techniques, just if you will, that you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, the high level, I mean, the first two things that everybody does before they come into the clinic, regardless of where you're located, is the hormone rehab that we just talked about, and then nutrition.
Okay.
Nutrition is such a big thing for migraines, specifically in stabilizing blood sugar.
Yep.
If you just look at migraine as a condition of neuronal instability, then providing it with enough sugar or consistent sugar is such a huge thing. So teaching people what that looks like and how to eat, how often to eat, how much food to eat, what types of foods to eat, different habits that you need. That's the big thing with chronic illnesses, is you need habits that serve them for years and not just a big list of things to do for a couple weeks.
Right.
So that's kind of the first two things. And then really like upper cervical chiropractic for migraine specifically, it's super gentle. It's not the big, loud whack and crack that can be way, way too much for people,
right?
With concussions and for migraines. I don't usually recommend that. Upper cervical is very specific and very gentle.
Oh, yes.
I love that. And then the last half, that's really kind of the cherry on top that a lot of people aren't being exposed to, is the neurologic rehab.
Mm.
So it's just figuring out what systems are down, what systems are unstable, and then figuring out how to send input into those systems, a lot of which process pain, and stimulate them to the point when they start to change, but not stimulate them so much that they fatigue out. And so that's sort of the fine line that you walk in neurologic rehab for these kinds of conditions, is you have to, one, spend a lot of time figuring out what's dysfunctional, and then figure out how much input it can take before it starts to fatigue. And when you look at some of the systems that we're working through, a lot of them integrate into the, have you ever heard of something called the trigeminal cervical complex?
Yes.
That's like the big master switchboard that if you overload that, you get a migraine. That's
Yeah.
And so a lot of the pathways that we're working through are specifically for that. We're strengthening the sort of the inhibition of that squirrely pool of neurons called the TCC is what they call it. We could have a whole, 2-hour topic on that, but generally what we're doing is we're finding dysfunctional pathways that control your eyes and or pain inhibition, and we're rehabbing those.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. So I, I'm going to totally disclose something about myself. So, so I experienced dizziness a lot. And not so much vertigo, it's more like off balance and stuff. And I've been told to look at my eyes, and I do see chiropractic regularly, and they're very gentle on me too. They don't do the crack thing. But, and my dizziness I know is related to, my vision. I know it is. But I've never actually gone through a lot of therapies through it, and I don't get migraines from it. But I know some people do get migraines with dizziness or dizziness and migraines and stuff like that. Is that something too that you've helped people with as well or have seen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's much more prominent in, concussion. A lot of times, if you've ever been kind of sitting at a stoplight and you look at the car next to you and the car starts moving and you kind of get this panicked feeling of like, oh, was that me or them? Like, am I moving or is it?
I do that.
Yeah. It's kind of uncomfortable. It kind of makes you feel a little bit nauseous.
I've done that.
And
that's weird.
And so, yeah, when you have vestibular issues, a lot of times you're getting a really mild version of that all the time. So if you feel like you're moving around because your vestibular system has been knocked around and there's an imbalance in it, your eyes are then being influenced constantly by that misintegration of your vestibular system.
Yeah.
So when your eyes are closed, you're probably feel like you're moving around because of that imbalance, but then you open your eyes and now you're suppressing that. So you're kind of have this tug of war going between your vestibular system, mm-hmm. your ocular system, and your neck. Mm-hmm. And that creates this sort of low level nausea and motion sickness that anyone with vertigo will tell you is like ubiquitous. It just never goes away.
Yeah.
So I would be curious. You probably find one close to you. If you find somebody that does VNG testing, that's what we have. It's what I'm sitting right in front of on the screen.
VNG?
Yeah. They'll occlude your eyes and see what they do in the dark. And that gives you a beautiful window into what your vestibular system is doing to your eyes.
Yeah.
Because we're able to suppress it when they're open, but when they're closed and you can see that, it gives you a super good window into what's actually going on. And if you've looked at enough of them, you can actually tell which way people feel like they're spinning just based on how their eyes drift when they're not focused on anything.
I always just thought it, because Lyme people usually have balance issues.
Yes.
So they just told me, oh, it's just part of your Lyme, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, no, but I have had a concussion. And I have a scar right here. I fell when I was 3-4 years old. I fell on a hammer.
Ooh.
So yeah, it was the claw where they take the nail out. And so I landed on that when I was young. So I've had a couple concussions. So now that I'm talking to you, this is really interesting. And I'm like, okay, I need to get my eyes checked. I want to see what's going on because I don't want to chop it up. It's not all the time, but now that you're mentioning some things like the car moving and stuff, oh my God, that's me. And I'm very prone to motion sickness.
Yep.
Well. Yeah.
So. Totally. Yeah. Anytime somebody says I'm prone to motion sickness, then you think, okay, they have something called a mismatch going on. So one of your systems, whether it's your neck, your eyes, or your vestibular system, is saying something different than the other two. And that's when you get that sort of your body's way, your brain's way of flagging, like, this isn't good. Like, yeah. I'm just a big ball of fat in a dark skull. Like, I need information based on where I am to be consistent.
Yeah.
And if that information is no longer consistent or reliable, then you get symptoms like vertigo or nausea or brain fog, like that ongoing stress.
Yep.
Also a huge contributor to migraine is a very, very, sort of underserved, source of all of that, source of dizziness, source of nausea, source of brain fog, source of headaches. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love to do those assessments. I wish you were closer. I wish you could fly here tomorrow and I'd run a full one on you.
I can fly out there. My husband's a pilot. I can fly for free.
Let's make a podcast about it. Come on up.
Oh my God. Oh, that would be a good idea. Ooh.
I'm 100% down.
I could totally come out to, cause you're a mini, right?
Yep.
I have a direct flight mini. Yeah. Right out of Seattle.
Well, hey, I'm putting it out there officially right now. Offering it to you formally.
Okay. This is going to happen. I'm going to.
Let's document it. That'd be super fun.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be great? We could totally do it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Everybody's listening. We're putting this on the calendar.
It's the project. Let's do it.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, we are running out of time and I want to wrap this up. Is there anything, final words, anything you'd like to say to the listeners out there?
No, I would say if you're really struggling and you feel like you've tried everything, just know that there are so many new studies and therapies coming out all the time. It has never been a better time to suffer with migraine because people are starting to wake up. People are starting to understand. And there's real science coming out that is just giving people so much hope. So I would say if you're out there and you're really struggling, just hang in there because there's stuff coming and I think you're all going to like it.
Yeah. Alternative things. Definitely. And that's what I like to bring on my podcast is things that possibly you don't necessarily hear about on the news all the time. And so this is certainly the case of what you do. So, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is great. Well, we might have to do another one with another topic when I come out to see you.
I can't wait for you to come up here.
Oh, be great. It's going to happen. I can just fly out there and it's not a problem. So Minneapolis is easy to get to from Seattle. So
perfect.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for being on the show. And we'll catch you on the next one. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show, please visit sweetcoachtavia.com.